Constantly Varied, episode 41.
We're back.
I'm here with James Rankin. How's it going?
I'm good, Jamie. How are you today?
I'm all right. A little sleepy. Yeah. I haven't been sleeping the last few days. Sick doggies at home. Keep me up all night. So, yeah, a bit
groggy.
A bit groggy. That's a good word. I've got corners. I'm not smooth at all. So, apologies for my terrible...
I like that description.
Yes. Okay. And I'm also here with our brand new BUA coach, Ozzy is here. Ozzy, how's it going?
What's the story, Jamie?
Are you well?
Oh, good.
You've started coaching just this week?
Yeah, starting Monday.
Amazing.
Yeah, straight into it.
Yeah, you're buzzing?
Oh, ecstatic, isn't the word?
Yeah.
Ecstatic. Out in Smithfield. Crew are great out there. It's brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. So Ozzy's been doing the internship with us here. We're into our nearly four months in, right?
Yeah.
Applied early for a job, like gutsy move, absolutely gutsy move.
We did. I remember this vividly. We did the first weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and on Wednesday, he was like, "When can I start applying for jobs here?" And I was like, "This is a bit, you know, I don't know if you're." And then I mentioned it to you, and you were like, "Yeah. I mean, like if someone's thinking about it, they can do it. There's no job at the minute, but
yeah, but there's,
why not apply?
And apply, like go through the process and see what happens. And one thing about Ozzy is that if anyone knows him, he immerses himself in something. You've been putting in the hours, putting into practice. So when you got to the application process, man, you blew us away. You absolutely blew us away. So I'm buzzing to get us to this point. It's been a while, right? Well, like just all the different stages to go through. You went through them and you've been successful. And I'm over the moon. Something that people won't know about you is that you actually have a coaching background. You were in the Army for the last 7 years.
Yeah,
and before you were in the Army, you were actually coaching quite a bit.
I was.
So do you want to tell us when you started coaching?
Yeah, so I started martial arts when I was very young. Got started in kickboxing. When I was still a kid, I started helping coach the kids. So I was like 9, 10, and I was instructing, like there were some 12, 13-year-olds in the kids' class at the time, and I was instructing them. So wasn't taken very seriously at the time, but...
I can't imagine why not.
I can imagine, yeah. So, and then as I progressed then, I progressed fairly quick, and I think I was 15, 16, started actually traveling, doing seminars for adults and instructing adults classes, and yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, so your whole like kid teenage years, you were in martial arts and then coaching it, and then that became a bigger part of your martial arts, right? And you were also fighting. You had a couple of pro fights, isn't that right?
Yeah, it was a couple of pro K1 fights.
So it was a whole career before you were an adult. That's a mad story.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It all started off because I was coaching the adult classes. I was getting a bit of pocket money to go drinking the weekend, stuff like that.
Priorities. Yeah.
Not that that's why I'm here now, but that's how it started. And then I just progressed quick.
Good man. Very good. Well, exciting new journey starting, eh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, very good. Okay, let's dive in. We've got a bit of an old school format this week. We're going back to
Can
something.
Can I interrupt this first? Can you please follow us on Spotify? Because Jamie forgot to mention it at the start. And our following, there we go, on
Followship.
Spotify. Followship is going up, and the more people that follow us, the more like home feeds we appear on Spotify, and the more we appear on, the better. Thank you.
Sorry about that, James. Sorry. Okay, so as I said, like a bit of an old school format, we're going back to like, let's talk about training. So the last 7 days and the next 7 days, we're going to look ahead at programming. Before that, have you got a highlight from the last 7 days training, James?
Training-wise, yeah. I'm not going to lie, I am super relieved as an athlete that the Open is over. Like,
right, why is that?
Because I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast, I'm still struggling to manage my expectations around how I perform and where I finish in the Open. Like, I train on average at the minute 3 times a week, and like that just doesn't lend to being high up on the leaderboard. Like, I still do really well and all that, but compared to where I was, I'm like multiple percentage points lower on the leaderboard with less people taking part. So it's a big hit to the ego, and I'm struggling with that. So I'm glad it's done, so I can just get back to training mode, because I like progressing all the time, and I like dialing in on something where I can work towards progression rather than, right, can I just maximize this performance? Like, I'm not in that mode anymore. I don't do it very often. I don't really want to do it 3 weeks in a row either. So I'm delighted to get back into training mode. And in saying that, my past three training sessions, Monday, Friday, and last Wednesday, have all been deadly. I've loved all of them. And they're all quite different. Like, Monday was the broad jumps, the snatch deadlifts, and the strict pull-ups. Loved that. Had a really good attitude going into the broad jumps. Was trying to literally just empty the tank, being explosive. Snatch deadlifts were fun. And strict pull-ups, they are what they are. I know they're beneficial towards me, so I was dialing in, trying to do the things. The Friday before that, it was overhead squats. I didn't go overly heavy. I had a bit of crack. I got to catch up with Matty Quinlan and just dialed in on my technique. And then the Wednesday before that was... I can't even remember that now. Have you got it there?
Yeah, hold on now.
The Wednesday was...
It wasn't the wall balls, was it?
No, it was the deadlifts and the strict pull-ups.
Yes, 30 strict pull-ups, yeah. 30 deadlifts. And you had to every had to 2 minutes.
Deadlifts and fives, and you had to do the box step overs every 2 minutes. Yeah, so that was just like I did the strict pull-ups as chest bars. Tried to keep them as strict as I could. Missed reps, which is really annoying, but like in a fun way. And then with the deadlifts, went the RX plus option on them, but was really controlled, trying to load up the hamstrings. My hamstrings were aching for days afterwards. And I was just back in the mode from Wednesday of like, let's get better. And I fucking love that so much.
So I think what you're saying, if I'm right, correct me if I'm wrong here, that what you like is the narrowing again.
Yes.
And the open is the broadness. It's like, we so need to be broad. Ready for everything and anything. And that's an ocean of things. And it can feel a bit like, I'm going to train for everything, and you end up kind of training for nothing.
For nothing, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's, I've, I have that same feeling of like, I'm grounded again in something to get better at. So yeah, 100%. I totally get that. Yeah. What about you, Ozzy? How's your last 7 days? Any big highlights from your training?
Certainly yesterday was probably my biggest highlight of the last week. The workout yesterday was the 10 calories, the 10 push-ups and 20 air squats. But the focus on continuous movement. So what I find a lot, I'm sure as my coach James will agree, I start most workouts like a bat out of hell.
I think you said to me yesterday, every workout I go out too hot. Like every workout.
Doesn't matter what I'm doing, every single workout. And then I absolutely die halfway through. So it was nice yesterday. I actually found a pace that I can maintain and keep moving for the full 16. And that was great. It felt great afterwards as well. Not immediately afterwards, it was in bits, but about 10, 15 minutes after, once I got my breath back, I was delighted with it. So that was a massive highlight for me.
Yeah, happy days. Yeah, that was a nice one. I did that myself yesterday. It was one of those ones where you could just get in your own head and just find your cruise control and go. Yeah, so for me, training is actually going relatively okay. Getting some consistency in. Fitness is slowly coming up and up and up. So I feel I can do a bit more. For me, this is maybe not 7 days, maybe 8 days ago, we did the wall ball imam. You know that thing?
Yeah.
It was like you choose the amount of wall balls you do in 1 minute and then you have a rest minute. We did it for 14. For some reason, I really fucking liked that. It was awful. I didn't like it in the middle of it. But after, I felt like, okay, I could do some wall balls. It was a bit of a confidence builder, you know?
Yeah, is that what you liked about it? That you came away from it knowing that, oh, I'm actually more capable than I thought it was? Or
I did a bigger number than I expected myself to do. When I was in, I was like, I'll do that. And then when I was doing it, I was like, oh, fuck, I could probably do more than that. I did more than that, stuck with it. I was paired up with Bubbles, so she was on the opposite minute.
Oh, per you.
Yeah, and the two of us were a little like, I could feel the two of us were a bit like, oh, fuck, I'm not ready for training today. She was a bit cranky, I was a bit cranky. And then she went and put up a huge number. I was like, oh, fuck.
She does that. She can be in one mode the whole way through, and then the workout starts, and she's just doing it long enough that she goes, rum.
Yeah, well, she got me to do more. But it's saying that, and she just did herself. I was like, I have to do more now. So I did more as a result. And so if I remember right, I think I did, it was 7 rounds of wall balls. I did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rounds, took the 6th round off because I was nearly dead.
Yeah.
And I said, no, get up and do round 7. Nice. I did round 7, and that was the win.
Whopper.
Yeah, so happy days. So yeah, it's generally starting to find some consistent like amount of days each week. I'm trying to hit 3 days a week minimum, and then I'll be happy.
Class. Here are two things that you said there that I think are worth highlighting. One, the power of group training.
100%.
Like, just having someone there that you've known for a long time, that you know that she went out of her way doing something really impressive, therefore it pulled you along. Like, and that happens all the time in the mornings too. It's phenomenal.
It's invaluable, yeah.
Totally. And then the other side of that is that we talked about that training day. We kind of designed that one together because it was the handstand walk stuff beforehand and then the wall balls. And we talked about this then in the internship with my educational piece that we covered, like the power of autonomy, where everyone's like, what should I do? Because they want answers, because a lot of people come here for, tell me what to do and then I'll do it. But what we all crave as human beings who want to stay motivated, who want to achieve stuff, is like making our own decisions as well. And it's such a little micro decision, like pick the number of wall balls you do today.
Yeah.
It's silly, but in the grand scheme of things, it's so, so impactful, isn't it? You don't have to do 20, you can do 19.
100%. Yeah, yeah. I thrive in that as well. And now that's a big trigger for me. I'm working with a nutritionist at the moment and it's been going really, really well. Like, changes I never thought I'd make. So I'm over the moon with that. But something, I got a tripwire in it about 7 weeks in, right? It was really, really interesting. This is my own insanity. I've been making small changes every week, and the person I'm working with, she's really good at just saying, you decide, what do you think you're able for this week? And then I add in, or I say, just maintain what I did last week. If I can solidify that, I'll be good. And it was like, hands off. Then we had a week where she just pushed a little. And she said, here's a goal for you.
And you got your guard up, did you?
I said, and as she said, I was like, okay. In the back of my mind, I went, go fuck yourself. But I nodded along. I said, no, this is good. I need to be pushed here. Cool. And I went away and I literally threw the whole plan out the window for a whole week. I just went back to my old ways. And I got back on the call where last week and I said, hey, something happened. And I talked to her and she was like, you're totally right. I just fucking imposed my goal on you there. And it fucked with you. I was like, yeah, it did. So I'm such a control freak. What an asshole. But it is who I am. So the autonomy piece is everything for me. I need to, it's like, I can't control much. What I can control is my own decisions. So when I get a workout like the wall ball one, I'm like, I get to pick to do it to myself. Then I'll do awful things. Pick a way too high a number. But if someone told me,
you have to do 24, I have to do it. You're like, go fuck yourself. Yeah. I'm going to do 12.
Yeah, exactly.
And not get fitter.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Absolutely stupid. But it is what it is.
But it makes, out of context for everybody listening, but it makes sense based on that model of motivation where we go from, what's the A, what's that word whenever you're not motivated? A motivated. When you're A motivated, right the way up to that high level intrinsic motivation, and the intrinsic motivation is mostly pushed by your level of autonomy, and there's all the other stuff in between, and it's the introjection is basically what she did there, that type of motivation.
Yes.
And you're just at a stage in your life that you're like, that does not work for me.
It doesn't work for me, yeah. At this point in the whole thing. And there might be something later on in the nutrition thing when I'm further down the road where it's exactly what I need. But right now, I was like, no.
You need to control it.
Yes.
So interesting.
So weird. It. Such a weirdo. Okay, let's look ahead then. Have you got a workout of the week, James?
Yeah, I'm struggling between two here, Thursday and Friday. I'm gonna say Thursday, and I'm gonna say Thursday because I'm gonna make time to do it in my day tomorrow. I normally train Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but this is a type of workout that I don't need to do at all. I just really want to.
Oh.
I'm good at killing. It's a like red zone workout is what we've dubbed it in the coach's notes, and I'm good at going into the red zone. And same as you, Ozzy. Like, yeah, we can go full sendies from the get go. But that repeatability thing is something that I like trying to work on because it's such a hard challenge to overcome. So the workout is 3 rounds each for max reps. It's an AMRAP in 6 minutes. You do 20 or 30 cal ski, 20 hands-on burpee over box, 15 or 20 cal ski, 15 hands-on burpee over box, and then 10 cal ski, 10 hands-on burpee over box. You rest 6 minutes, you do that 3 times.
Yeah.
And what I love about it is we did the podcast on it yesterday. It's designed to be unfinishable. And there's a little part of my ego that's still alive as an athlete where I'm like, come on then. Come on then. Like, yeah. I can do burpees quicker than anybody. Yeah. Like, let's go see if I can get it done. So 100%. That's a real challenge.
Yeah, and that challenge is there to suck in those idiots, you know. Right, Ozzy, what are you looking forward to?
I'm going to go with Saturday.
Saturday. Oh, Saturday. Yeah. This thing. Yeah.
So.
What a beast of a thing.
It's a doghouse workout. I love them. Love them. Battle your demons. So it's an AMRAP, 16 minutes, 90 double unders, 30 inch worms. Then on 0, 4, 8, and 12, you're doing 8 dumbbell push press, 8 devil's press, and 8 dumbbell push press.
That is a you workout,
isn't it? That is such a me workout. I love that. That is, you're going to be in your own head, slogging along, and every time you're getting frustrated, snagging double unders, which I keep doing. Then it's going to be broken up with dumbbells, and you're going to have to dig deep and get through them fast.
And what we were saying here the other day was it's a third gear into fifth gear, the third gear into fifth gear, which is terrible because we like to slot into third gear and stay there, or else we like to go fifth gear and then like rest, fifth gear rest. Here we have to kind of come down from that real intense dumbbell work and then try and slot back into a flow. And exactly what you said, it's a doghouse, like you're absolutely in the battle from the start. Oh, on this
absolutely
one.
And that athlete I was yesterday finding me pace, he's going to be nowhere to be seen that day. That's going to be, I'm coming out hot.
So if you want to see a broken man, come in 8 minutes into the workout on Saturday.
I'll be in the back crying.
Very good. Okay, nice one. So I'll go next. So the one I'm looking forward to, let me just check my notes here to see what I wrote down. Oh yeah, it's Sunday. Yeah, this one took around 9 months to get born. Do you remember this one, James?
This will live with me forever. I'm not even going to do it. But yeah, it took me nine iterations. I wrote 9 different workout variables to get to this point. And I told
it was an hour and a half,
just
maybe.
So everyone goes, yeah, just so everyone knows, I told Jamie about 4 of them. And in his most polite fashion, he went, wrong. And I had to change it again. And it was like the same 3 movements done in different, it just didn't work.
And it ends up like the simplest thing ever, but like to get to the simple version, you actually have to go through an awful lot. So, but this is right up my street. It's like simple, hard work, but with some skill element in it. So we got 5-minute AMRAP of rope climbs. Like, what a great start that is. I love rope climbs. That's going to get hard, but it's a good combination of hunger, grit, and skill execution over and over again. Then you just get on the bike for 5 minutes and use as many calories. And I love a pain cave on the bike. I love that. And it'll be completely different to the rope climbs. So you can dig in right away. And then after that, you're 10 minutes in, everything's gone, grip is gone, legs are gone, heart rate's through the roof. And you should do as many carries as possible. Which is just like, oh, there's no thinking here. I just have to like get in position, squeeze the muscles and work. Like amazing. And that carry is really, really challenging. We have 1 kettlebell, 1 dumbbell, the kettlebell's in front rack, the dumbbell's overhead. Like, oh man. Eva, but an absolute beauty. So that's one for me now. I'd really like the look of that.
Do you ever think like if you could assign a person a workout, it'd be like describe a person in a workout, like this is you. like describe Jamie without describing Jamie. Like you probably do 5 minutes of rope climbs because it's high skill, very complex. Like you can dial in on minutia, but then also get on the bike and sell your soul. And then also,
yeah,
pick up 2 really awkward things, hold them in positions you wouldn't normally hold them in, and just grind it out and go.
And it only took me an hour to get you to program it.
True. Yeah, it's a cool workout at the end of it. Very cool.
Okay, very cool. Okay, so that's the training. Get into your classes. Get in 5-6 days per week. We have 3 months to get better at these things. Remember, what we're working on might not be what it looks like on the programming, but it's what we're working on. So if you just keep listening out for what the stimulus of the day is, dial that up, you're going to make all the progress in the world. As you know, our programming is going to remain really varied, so it might not always be obvious. Just keep getting in and you'll be all good. So we want to get into our main topic this week, and our main topic is around it's around learning and modes of learning. And this is kind of grounded in part of the mission at BUA, and the mission here is to build a developmental culture, and it's focused on athleticism, health, and mindset. But the developmental culture piece is key. We're trying to have a culture where everybody's here to develop and grow and build and improve on things all the time. We're never here to just show off. We're here to Why'd work on ourselves. You just had the mic, James. That's all it was. Yeah, so an interesting component to that is to become self-aware of how you learn best. It's something that we're always interested in ourselves and in, with each other as a team. Because if I'm going to teach somebody something, I got to know how they would prefer to get it from me. So we're going to get into learning styles in a second, but I'm interested first in if you're a type of learner who likes to like dive in, immerse yourself in a new topic and just like drown in it, or are you someone who likes to have multiple things on the go and you're kind of dive into that, dive out, dive into that, dive out, and you're kind of concurrently learning five things at once? Because I think there's two different types of people. James, want to give us a...
Yeah, whenever you mentioned this earlier and I was writing it down as you were saying it, you were like, are you an immerser? So I typed that. I was like, yeah, I think I am. And then you said, or are you a dipper? And I was like, yeah, I think I'm that too. I'm like, oh, I dip immersely all the time. I tried to zoom out a little bit from that then. And it's like, I immerse myself in learning to be a better coach all the time. Like that is my one area of focus, and then I dip into different areas all the time that feed that, and that's how I kind of suss it out. So I obviously spend a lot of time like looking at strength and conditioning and how people train. I look at all different aspects. I look at martial arts, I look at rugby, I look at CrossFit, the works. But then I also step away, and all of the podcasts I listen to very generally are around things like psychology or human behavior and all that jazz. And then whenever I'm reading, it varies from like marketing to management to leadership to more psychology and all of that jazz. But it's all with that purpose of how can I have more influence and impact on the floor to help people get towards better results. So I'm an immersive learner. I like, of all the core values that I could possibly pick, like learning is probably definitely number one, along with my family, and then it's like picking the different type of thing that I go into all the time.
Yeah, so you bounce from topic within a topic.
A topic, yeah. It's always with like, what's this leading towards?
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. What about you, Ozzy? What do you do? I think we already know this.
I immerse myself from the highest diving board you can imagine. I'm a cannonball right to the bottom. I need to be fully in something. So I need all the information, I need everything, and I have to be 100% there with it. So that's all I focus on, and that's it. I couldn't be learning how to coach now, and I couldn't be learning German in the evenings and then learning Kung Fu on a Sunday. I can't do that. I need to just be here for one thing, and until I master it, I won't leave it, so I'll never be leaving learning.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, and there's something really appealing about like just getting rid of everything else and saying this is my thing, right? And and just being able to say I'm going to allow myself to not worry about anything else. Almost there's my few priorities, but in terms of what I'm working on, it's this. So that narrowing, I think, is really comforting. I love it as well. It's my natural mode, is to say I'm going to deep dive in something and I'm going to get like as deep as I can. But something I've noticed is that's definitely what would have been my mode, and it has become less so over the last couple of years. Something, as I ask myself that, I'm like, that's definitely changed about me. And I don't know if that's because of necessity. I'm just doing a lot more things than I used to do. And maybe it was a luxury at a certain point that I just have to get really good at this thing and everything else will fall into the place. And now I find my workflow and my life flow means that I have to switch gears, like hard gear changes, five, six times a day. And it's something that I think I used to be really bad at, and now I'm becoming better at it. So therefore, I think maybe it's a skill of I'm starting to develop, or I'm starting to get like less crap at it. But now I find, like I was just saying to you, I want to do a writing course. I found the right course. It's only 7 days. Surely I can find 7 days. And you laughed your ass off because you were like, when the hell are you going to do that? And that's a bit of the problem, that with so many things going on, I have to ask myself, like, am I able to properly learn what I need to learn at the moment? Because there's so many distractions. So I think there's a bit of a balance. Like, I like the fact that I can switch gears now. I think it's a necessary skill of running multiple businesses. But at the same time, the learning bit is always going to be the central part for me. So I don't want to become unfocused either. So it's a bit of a battle. So it's carving out time, I think. You know?
I think there's an element of how new or novel something is as well, as to what's, and how deep you want to go into, as to what's the better option here. Are you better immersing yourself into something, or are you better dipping your toe in? And I think about whenever I started working here, even like I'm at a point now where like we're setting up a business and we're trying to do all these things on the side, because I just went, I'm going to dive bomb in and do, as Ozzy said, and like leave everything else behind me and immerse myself into it, because there's a bigger picture here and go. But then like I've started writing poetry again, like just casually on the side, because it helps me switch off. I'm not going to immerse myself into that where I'm like, how do I really write poetry? Because I just need to dip my toe into it and get, I want to get a little bit better at it, but I don't really care how good I ever get. And it's the same with, like, I'm always tempted to go back and play rugby, but I can't, because I can't dip my toe in that. I'd have to immerse myself into it again. So there's certain things where I'm like, dip, immerse. And I think there's a balance there, isn't there?
Oh, totally, totally. And I've the same, I'm like on the verge of going back boxing, kickboxing, at every moment of my life since I've stopped. Right on the verge of it. It's never happening. Listen, oh, as soon as Ozzy started, I'm like, there it is. We're getting pads. That's it now. It's happening. It's happening.
Far time. 20 digs.
Yeah. So say that's the, like, do I immerse? Do I dip in and out? But then there's the, when you need to go and find out something, I need to learn about this. Either it's a knowledge gap or you're just interested. Have you got a learning style? Have you got a mode of learning? So I know some people love to go get on YouTube. Some people like to listen to a podcast. Others like to read a book, go do a course, learn from a mentor. There's so many different ways we can do it. Have you, well, so, James,
yeah, tell us. We've talked about this periodically over the past 3 or 4 years. And I need to, what I feel works best for me is I slowly build up the amount of information I take in. So it maybe starts with a book or a podcast, and then it trickles into more books, more podcasts, and then it trickles into conversation with someone who I think might be interested in, which is generally Jamie or Jill. I'm like, they're the two sounding boards, because it's normally about coaching per Jill. And then whenever, if that ticks the box of like you start talking back to me about it, or Jill starts asking me questions about it, I'm like, cool, there's something to this. So then I'm like, right, where's the source of this information? So like I go from the motivation stuff, right, the whole way down to self-determination theory and Abraham Maslow and all that stuff, like the people who came up with the terms. And then I'm able to really learn it. I'm like, I have to tell people about it who don't have a clue, which is unfortunately the people on the floor in classes. They have to hear about that stuff. So I'm like, trickle in slowly from multiple sources, usually podcasts and books, sometimes YouTube, then conversation with people who maybe know something about it or have to listen to me. And then it's, I go try teach it to someone somehow, usually people in the gym floor.
Here, that's dead interesting. I haven't thought about the teaching side of it, but that is exactly my the same thing.
Yeah.
Once I've learned something, if I have to go and teach it, I'll learn it way better.
Yeah.
It's a real motivator. It forces me to organize the thinking, pick it apart.
I said this to you about one of the internship weekends recently. I'm like, that's the fourth time I've seen you do that. Well, it's the best one you've ever done. And you've done it in coach prep, and you've done it. More than four times, but four times in the internship. But there was a delivery method, mode, style, information. And I say, oh, that was the clearest, most concise, but most interesting, well-delivered version of it.
Yeah, because when you teach it, you have to own the knowledge.
You have to own it, yeah.
You have to own it. And to own it, you need to get confident with it. You got to be able to play with it, connect dots in ways, that, not just hearing it the way you've heard it first time. You know, you get the lesson, and you're like, oh, now I know it.
Yeah.
But you only know that flat version in that sequence with that language.
Yeah, and you add your own language to it. Like you would actually describe that sentence in a slightly different way than the person who wrote the book about it.
And you can start at the end or start in the middle, work your way out. And when you play with it, now it's knowledge.
Yeah.
Before it was like information.
Yeah. I like to give a real tangible example of that. It was cleans in class today. And the way I coached that was I covered catch, the hang position, and then contact, which I said that to Amy yesterday, and she was like, oh, I think it makes more sense if I go catch, contact, hang. And it totally does, because we work down the system. and I nearly changed my plan, and I went, I don't have to. Like, I know clean's inside out, upside down, and this will be slightly more challenging for me. So I'm going to do it that way. And it still went really well. Ozzy looked horrendous when he came in this morning, and still moved 90 kilos like it was nothing all morning. But I own that knowledge that I can deliver it any way I want.
Yeah, for sure.
Super interesting.
That is an interesting component. What about you, Ozzy? What do you do? How do you go find out?
So I only really learned about how I learn on the internship. I didn't think that I needed to immerse myself so much, but how I learn is by doing, and especially by failing. So I learn through failure, whereas I will... So for the internship, how I've been doing it with the shadowing and stuff, I'll come in, I'll do the half five class in the morning with James. I'll feel what it feels like to do. I'll shadow half six, half seven, and then half eight, I'll be on the floor trying to mimic what he's doing, but in my own way. So I'll see how that feels. Then I'll go away and I will overthink ridiculously about it for days and days. I'll be hounding James with questions. Every time I see you, there's a question. I'll be in there annoying Amy, whatever. But I certainly learn through doing things rather than reading or watching or anything like that. So you could sit here and talk about Pythagoras' theorem to me until the cows come home. But until you hand me a pen and paper and I try it, I might get it wrong 1,000 times, but the second I get it right, I'll never get it wrong again.
That's
how I learn.
Wow.
That's cool.
That's blowing my mind.
Yeah, that's cool. So in the framework we use for learning styles, it's called VARK, V-A-R-K.
Yep.
It's known as kinesthetic learning. It's people who learn by doing all the time. And a lot of coaches are biased kinesthetic, because they like to go and feel these things out. They're in their bodies quite a lot. So when you did your VARK, is that what came out on top?
Yeah, clearly. It came really strongly kinesthetic learning. That's what came up.
Right, okay.
There was only like one mark for visual, and that was all that was on the result.
Right, okay. So it was all really heavily biased kinesthetic, yeah. And what we see when people do this test, that some people are really like across the board. They kind of have this even spread. They like to watch for some things, like to read some things. And then we see people like yourself who's really biased in one direction. And I always think it's interesting that you can end up trying to learn something in a teacher's way of doing it, that their mode of teaching is one way. And you can end up very frustrated and very low confidence, because it's just the style that is coming at you is not really working to your strengths. So, like, I know for me, I did my VARK again today. This is like the fifth time or something I've done it. I've just done it just to see, does it change? And if it is changing, actually, a little bit over time. But if anything, my biases are getting stronger, not weaker.
Oh.
Yeah. So I would have thought that maybe, because when the first time I did it, I was really heavily biased like you, but towards oral. So listening, I love to listen. And like, there was a few for kinesthetic, there was a little bit for visual and read-write. So it was kind of spread, but then you could see this big spike for oral. Like, it was almost nothing for anything other than oral now. And the kinesthetic has a little bit.
Yeah.
And that makes sense for me, because I love listening. I can, whenever somebody's teaching me something and they start talking, I can feel like I go like a stone, nothing moves. Every piece of my energy is going into picking every word.
To the point where Amy pointed it out this morning to you.
Yeah. My resting bitch face in class yesterday. She was like, man, you look so angry all the way through class. It's like, I was just concentrating. So sorry. But even like when I'm watching, if I'm watching a TV show and I'll be rewinding all the time. I want to hear every syllable, every word. Because if I miss, I'm like, I missed something here. So I'm a really close listener. So if I get something, if I have to read something, I know I skim everything, skim, and I have to go back and reread, because I don't have the patience to read every word as I'm doing it, if it's an instructional thing. Whereas if I could sit and have a conversation with someone, I'll pick it up way faster, you know?
That's so interesting. Like, I haven't done this recently, but my kinesthetic stuff is so low. And it makes sense now, because even from a class planning perspective, when Ozzy's class plan, he goes and grabs a wall ball, brings it out to the chill room and practices. He does a workout. And you do a lot of that as well.
Yeah.
And unless it's something new, it does not help me. I'm like, I know exactly how that'll feel, how long it'll take, like just intuitively in my body. So that side of it doesn't work at all. That's
yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Blow my mind.
Yeah, because when we're programming, like there could be an hour and a half meeting, I'll run downstairs 8 times. Yeah, in that.
Whereas I'll not move. I'll just think, I'll be like this here, yeah. Like tapping my head.
Yeah. So it is fascinating. So if you're interested in your own learning style, you just go and Google like VARC test, VARC questionnaire. And the first thing will come up will be a free questionnaire. And you will go and fill it in. It takes about like 5 to 10 minutes tops. Yeah. And you'll learn something about yourself. And what we do find when we do this with a big group, we do it with a big group of coaches all the time, that you'll get a big spread of people. And that what I find then is I can be more selective about how I go and learn something. I don't have to just go and find the mode. The first thing I find is like, no, I need to go and listen to a conversation about that one rather than go and read the book about it. And I think overall, like if you're thinking about how you're going to develop, getting as much of the style that you need to learn in, it speeds up the process. Our coaches are highly aware of this. Like we're very aware of it. So we try and give visual demos, great verbal descriptions. We use the whiteboard to write things. So you can read it and see it. And then you also get lots of chances to do the kinesthetic, to practice it. So we're aware that we want to get a whole group and we want to give everybody every chance all the time. But I think when you go outside of that sort of environment, I think give yourself the best chance is the key.
I think even like outside of coaching, I think like Jill and works in such a corporate setting, but she has to listen to me talk about this all the time and where I consider it. So when she's doing presentations, I'm like, if you have 100 words on that slide, that's no good for the person who just needs to see the picture and hear you describe it, because they're trying to read it and not listening to you. So it's helped her try and figure out, oh, I can do this slide in this way and it'll have this impact. I only need the pie chart and then I'll explain it and the people who need to see it, and it all comes across way better.
Absolutely. And it's like we had some slides for the internship. It was like, this needs to be a document that people can take away and read if they want, but the slide needs to be just the visual, like I get it and I can hear, I can listen to the person. So yeah, it does definitely make you a way better communicator once you understand who's the listener is.
Yeah. Here, before we move on from this, Ozzy said something really interesting there, and it's kind of sparked something in my head about how I feel about certain things, where he was like, I need to go away and try something, fail at it, get it wrong in order to get it right. And that's the best way that you learn. And I'm thinking about me, and I'm definitely like, that is absolutely not the case. Like that is a surefire way to put me off.
Right. Interesting.
I need small little wins to begin with before I'm comfortable failing.
Yeah, you need to build a base of confidence.
Yeah, I need a base of confidence and competence. Because if, say I'd never coached before and I came in here and I was doing the internship and you were helping me, the way I try and help the lads is how I would want to be. It's like, this is good, this is good, this is good. Think about this. And for like the first 6 weeks, I don't know if I told you that you did anything wrong, and it was all wrong.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah. Hey, you've got way better though. Well, because I have that bias where I need the confidence builder before I go and mess something up. But I'd never considered the fact that some people are like, no, I need to mess it up to know what not to do in order to do the thing right.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes as coaches, we're guilty of helping people get everything right all the time. We don't give them a chance to fail enough. And we've been trying to introduce that very deliberately into our practice sessions to make sure that people have a chance to say, oh yeah, I can feel the what not to do, so I can contrast it with
such
the what to do.
There then, isn't
yeah,
it?
Absolutely. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's learning styles. Be interested to hear if anyone gets any VARC results. Be really interested to hear that. So do the test. Let me know. Let's move on. We've got some events coming up to let you know about. We have our game day dates nailed down. So we have the weekend of June 15th, 16th is when game day is going on. So get it in the calendar, June 15th, 16th. Now, it's going to be a little different this time. We have Santry, Dunlear, Smithfield, all doing it on a Saturday the 15th. And then on Sunday the 16th, Nathan Selbridge are going to Selbridge for a joint day. So if you can't make the Saturday in your local gym, if you're Santry, Dunlear, or Smithfield, you have another option. Go to Nace and do it down there. Equally, if you're in Nace or Selbridge and you can't make that Sunday, you're very welcome at any of the other gyms to come along. So you've got two options, but just make sure you get that in your calendar. we're getting all the training done. It's going to be a real fun one because we're going to lift in the morning. We're going to go off site somewhere, do the Bronco, and then we're going to go and celebrate afterwards.
Is there locations organized for Bronco yet?
This is all locally. So all the different gyms are going to figure out their own, and I know that everyone's working hard on that. That is the other announcement, that we are going to do some Bronco baseline testing in the next couple of weeks. So maybe this weekend, maybe next weekend, something around there, we're going to have a location to go to. It's going to take you 6 minutes.
I don't know if that makes it more or less worthwhile.
Yeah, I don't know. But having a score to go and try and train for and beat, I think, is just the thing. If you can make it to it, don't worry if you have to walk the second half of the thing. Zero stress about it. Just go and feel it out. Get a time on the board so that you got something to go and fuel your training for the next 3 months. We'll tell you more in your local gym about where and when. Okay, we've got recommendations. Ozzy, have you got a recommendation for us?
I do. So, been listening to a lot of podcasts lately, and one that helped me a lot to develop myself, not only as a coach, but as a person. It's called The Mindset Advantage, is the name of the podcast. And one episode in particular, it's called Overcoming the Fear of Other People's Opinions with Dr. Michael Gervais. Oh, yeah, no. And it's really interesting because the thing that a lot of people will struggle with, especially younger people, I think, and if you practice something young, it's going to continue throughout your life, in my opinion. So what other people think of you and how they perceive you, if you think about that too much, it's going to restrict you a lot with what you do and how you act around people. So if you've ever been in class with me, I know James is probably probably loves seeing me down the back. If a good song comes on, I'm grooving away. I couldn't give a shit what anyone thinks of me, to be honest. And I think that's a really important trait to have as a person. Just be you, be happy. And that podcast really embraces that and shows people that.
Yeah, mega. Yeah, that's a great shout, because I just got recommended his book like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I got it. The First Rule of Mastery. And it's all about that. Like, how much is holding you back? The fear of other people's opinions. Does he call it something like that? You know, the fear miss. What's fear missing out? Fear of miss. FOMO.
FOPO, I think, is the one he goes into,
yeah,
on the podcast.
Exactly. Yeah, FOPO.
For other people's opinions.
Yeah, that's right. He called it that. So it's really powerful stuff. Kind of on the face of it, I was like, oh, okay, I'll have a look. And as soon as I started reading it, it's changed my mind on things. So that podcast might be a good way into it. So it's The Mindset Advantage, and it's Michael Gervais, is it?
Yeah. It is a slightly older episode from November, but it's definitely worth listening to.
Brilliant. Okay, that's a great show. James. I tell you what, I'm going to get to you last.
Yeah, because you go. I was going to say I'll go last.
Yeah. I've got a movie recommendation. I watched a movie maybe over the weekend or something. I don't know, recently. Oh my God. It was like, it blew me away. So I watched it. Doreena fell asleep.
Nice.
And then the next day I was like, here, that movie. Fuck me, that was a good movie. And she was like, oh, really? Yeah. And then she changed the subject. And then later on I was like, here, that movie. Oh my God. I was like trying to tell her about it. And she was like, yeah. Very good. Also, and then so later on, she was like, that movie. I was like, you need to watch that movie. So I watched it again with her.
Really?
That's how good it was. And the second time, it was better. No. Yeah. Nice. Best movie I've seen in a long time. It's called The Anatomy of a Fall.
Great film.
Did you watch it? Yeah. Really? So it's a French-made film, but I wouldn't worry about it. It's like, they did it mostly in English, and there's some subtitled bits, but it's very easy to watch from an entertainment point of view, but very, very heavy in other ways. But God almighty, it blew me away. One of the best films I've seen in a long time. So,
anyone good in it? Anyone famous director?
No idea.
Don't know,
of anyone who
and
is
what's
in
good
it.
About it. Is it the storyline? Is it the cinematography? What did you, like, everything?
The acting is unbelievable. Uh-huh. You forget that you're watching a film. Oh. It's that good. You know, you think you're watching people. The writing of it is so, it's like this restrained this whole thing, you're just tense watching the whole thing, like, oh my God. And you're so connected to the story. I just thought it was unbelievable. Yeah. So I won't ruin it. Just go check it out. Just go watch it. Yeah. Simple. What about you, James?
Good for a bank holiday weekend, that. Yeah. Well, I had no recommendations coming into this, and I started complaining to you too that I've bought and started about 4 or 5 books recently. I haven't finished the podcast in maybe 8 weeks. And then you were like, why don't you recommend not finishing shit things? I was like, that's actually a great shout. Because a problem a lot of people run into is, I want to read more. I want to listen to more podcasts. I want to. And then they pick something and they love it until they don't. And then there's this idea that you have to go finish the thing that you started, which is a very virtuous trait to have. But if it's overall degrading towards what you actually want to happen, I think it's silly. So the sunk cost fallacy is a famous way of looking at things, where like you commit to something because you've already committed to something. It's kind of like staying in a relationship that's not working because, well, we've been together 10 years. Yeah, but if it's not working, it's not working. Leave. So a book is even more leavable than a relationship that you've been in for a long time. So I'm going to recommend that when you read a book, watch a movie, listen to a podcast, turn on the radio, and you're like, I don't like this, change it.
Yes. Yeah. That's the thing. And you have some, I think I have this sense, I hear these people who read prolifically like you, who I'm so jealous of. I'm like, I wish I was such a prolific reader. I find it hard. Like, it's really effortful for me to read so much. So I enjoy little bit bursts of it. And then I hear people reading like, oh, I read the book this week. I read another book this week. And there are 4 or 5 books a week. Like, how the fuck are these people doing? How do they find time to do this? And I think part of the secret is,
don't finish it.
A lot of them are not finishing the fucking book. They're reading the few chapters that they know they're getting what they need from it. And they're like, yeah, I think I have the message there. Yeah. Enough, book aside. Yeah. And then you also hear people who write books who are saying, like, their message is an 80-page book. A publisher
can't sell an 80-page book. Yeah,
you need to have a certain size to make it a book. So some of it is filler, and fluff to just kind of make it into a book rather than a pamphlet.
Yeah, a lot of books where I'm trying to learn something, I'm like, I read it until I think I've got the point, and I might miss something really valuable at the end, but I'm willing to take the risk if I'm like, oh, I've got it. And that my other, so once I think I've got the message, I'll quit a book. And then the other reason I'll quit a book is if the writing is bad. Like, if it's actually hard to read, like, it's very difficult. Like, I struggle with a lot of older books. Like, I love the classics, but I have to be like, oh, I'm going to sit down and read this now, rather than where I normally read those types of books are at bedtime. But I have to read silly books at bedtime because it needs to be simple to put me to sleep. I've started reading Walden, Henry, I can't remember. Very famous American book. It's super long, it's super complex, and it's like, just elongated chapters of thought where it's semi-autobiographical and it's semi-fiction all at once. It's super hard read, and I'm like, I'm gonna learn how to read this. Yeah. And it's the third time I've started it.
Yeah. And I've done that with Crime and Punishment, Dostoevsky.
Yeah.
And it's like, I love the challenge of sitting with the really hard sentences
and read it again.
And I'm like, and I put it down and go, that actually made an impact on me as I read it. But then I don't go, it's
you
like too
go
much,
back to it,
yeah. Back, it's too hard. It's too hard.
I did it even of Mice and Men. I started reading that and I was like, it's written too differently to how we talk and communicate and how most books are read. So I struggle with it. So I'm like, it's not that it's bad writing, it's phenomenal writing, but it's difficult. So I'm like, oh, I just have to park that before I come back to it.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, don't quit books. Yeah, it's quit the shit books, basically. Yeah. Great recommendation. Okay, we're going to finish with Would You Rather. Okay. Right, so just the answer first, Ozzy, and then we'll discuss it. And that's the way we do it?
Yeah, that's
okay.
The way we do it.
Okay, James, would you rather oversleep every day for a week or no sleep for 3 days?
Oh, my God. I'm going to... No. Yeah, I'm going to say no sleep for 3 days.
What about you, Ozzy?
Yeah, I'm going to go no sleep for 3 days as well.
Okay, yeah, me too. I actually thought, oh, oversleep for a week would be amazing. That sounds perfect. But then what flooded in was that, oh no, but I've got life to fucking get to. I'm late for everything for a week. Imagine waking up, I did it again.
Like Home Alone too.
No, I don't think I could do it. And I'm missing sleep the last few days and it's killing me. So I don't underestimate that. Like I've got some sleep the last three nights, but it's been disturbed. And man, I'm like I said, what did you say earlier? What was the word you said?
Oh, how did I describe you earlier? I can't remember.
Groggy, and I just feel like I'm not myself. So imagine it's crap.
Like not sleeping for 3 days, though, you'd be a little bit delirious by the end of that, wouldn't you?
Oh, you'd be.
So that might be fun.
Different planet, but not in a good way. And I think I don't know. So I wonder, would anyone be interested here? If anyone be like, "Fuck it, I'll oversleep. I'll be fine. Everyone's gonna be fine. Everything's gonna be fine."
Miguel could probably pick that. Miguel would pick that.
Miguel would be like, oversleep for no problem.
And Jose could pick that. I'm just thinking like for work. There's days my alarm goes off at 4:15. And there was a day about 2 weeks ago, it went like I didn't wake up till 4:30 because my whoop had died and it's normally that that goes off at 4:15. So it was my 4:30 backup alarm. And the whole day I felt stressed.
Here, imagine you overslept for a week, right? Imagine by Thursday, our conversation. dude, what's happening?
Yeah, constantly very to be really good. We've had to cancel 5:30 class every day this week.
Dude.
Amy would be on edge going, do I have to cover class? I'm going to come in for 5:30. Right, Ozzy, you're coaching Sancho now as well.
Amy would totally do that. Yeah.
Like touchwood, point of pride. I've been coaching for 11 years and I've never been late for a morning class.
Yeah, it's impressive. Ever, so. That's good. Okay, we got one more. Ozzy.
Oh, Ozzy didn't explain
this. Oh, did you
know? I thought I was going to skip past that, to be honest.
you're an army man, so you can't afford to sleep late, right?
Yeah, so I could definitely afford it. But, I'd say I'm more used to working on no sleep. That's part of the army. But imagine the cape you'd have at the end of 3 days no sleep. That'd be phenomenal. and then you go into the oversleeping anyway. So yeah, it's a two for one there. Do you know what I mean? So
that's a great show, yeah.
You'd feel great. You'd feel absolutely great. But I think I'd rather, like, imagine, especially with you, Jamie, imagine how much work you'd get done in them extra couple of hours not sleeping. Do you know what I mean?
That is true. Here, I'm interested, in the army, in the early days of training, was there any, like keep you up for extended? Yeah, there was a lot of that shit.
Yeah, there was a good bit of sleep deprivation, and they'd wake you up randomly in the middle of the night. I remember we were in the Glen of Amal, and we're all in the billets in bed, and next thing you know, a thunder flash, like a flash grenade, goes off in the room, and everyone's get up. We're all
God,
like little things when you're in patrol harbors, you're in the forest, you're asleep, you're all relaxed, and all. Next thing you know, they just start going mad at you, and you have to get out and pack everything. You're running, and you don't know your arse from your elbow, and you're trying to run around. And
is there any like excitement levels with that, or is it all just misery?
So, like, your adrenaline is through the roof, but you're also miserable. If that's any,
yeah,
that makes sense. So
sounds terrible.
Oh, it was awful. It was awful.
Okay, well, we got one more. All right, James, I'll let you go first. Then, would you rather this one be a genius who everyone thinks is an idiot, or be an idiot who everyone thinks is a genius?
I think I'd rather be a genius that everyone thinks is an idiot, because I'd hate.
Oh, here's James again. Everyone, dumb it down.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll explain after. Yeah,
I think I'd also go with the genius one because, yeah, I'll explain. I'll come back.
I think this is a no brainer for me. This is the gotta be a genius. God, imagine being the idiot who thinks he's a genius. Oh my God.
Everyone else thinks you're.
Imagine the pressure. You're walking around going, I know I'm an idiot. Everyone thinks I'm great. They keep promoting me to things. No, thank you. Like, underestimate me all day, motherfucker. Please do that. I fucking have that all day long. My favorite comic is Norm MacDonald. And
he comes across as an idiot.
He plays the idiot so well, so that everyone just thinks, oh, Norm, what an idiot. But he's probably the smartest.
So well thought out.
And you hear anyone who knows him, like, that guy is the smartest guy of us all. And he talked about, who would I tell you he talked about? It was one of his heroes was somebody who always, he said, never get ahead of your audience. Like, if you make your audience feel stupid, you've lost them completely. So he said, like, I think it was Letterman, David Letterman. He's like, play the idiot, but know that you know the things. I just watched a clip of him the other day. He was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You know that thing?
Norm was.
Stop. A celebrity one. He went all the way
with
to
Clarkson,
the...
Clarkson or an American version?
An American version. He went all the way to the million.
There you go.
Yeah. And he, on the last question, he was like, I know it's that one, but I can't, because it was for charity. He was like, I can't risk half a million for the charity. I'm going to take the money. And he was like, yeah, you were right. Stop. Yeah, really smart dude. But then plays the idiot. I think it's got to be that one.
I know, but I think also, like, if people genuinely thought you were stupid and, like, they did dumb things down around you, and you're like, I swear, I'm actually really smart. I can only imagine.
That's what an idiot would say.
Yeah. But I can only imagine how frustrating that would be as well. Like, if you ever watched The Big Bang Theory, like, Sheldon's just a big ball of frustration in that, because he's way smarter than everybody else. No, he has per pupil skills and all that jazz, but I can only imagine how frustrating that must be. But I think
if everyone's patronizing you all the time,
I think I could tolerate that better than the pressure of, oh, I actually know fuck and doing nothing about it, and everyone being like, here, just go ask Jamesy. It's like, no.
I need to go to Marks and Spencer's very quickly. Okay, lads, I think we'll leave it there for another week. Thanks.